Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let us lift up our voices. Stand up on our feet and lift our hands and appreciate the King of Kings. I appreciate the Lord of Lords, the great I am that I am, the God who was, and the God who is and is to come. We worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. Be thou glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate him. Welcome to the first day of the seventh month. Hallelujah. Give him the praise. The first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month. Welcome to the third quarter of the year. Third quarter of the year. And welcome to the second half of the year. In the name of Jesus, he shall favor you. Can we lift up our hands again and appreciate him? For the journey from January all the way to February, all the way to March, then April, then May, then June. And here we are in the month of July. Father, thank you. Bible said it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The race is not for the swift. Battle is not for the strong. Favor is not for men of skill, but it's just the mercy and help of God. Father, we worship you. Go on ahead. Appreciate him. Honor him. Glorify him for mercies through the months, for preservation through the months, for help through the months, for supply through the months, for divine health through the months. Father, we worship you. Adonai, we worship you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Go on ahead and give him the praise, give him the honor, give him the adoration, give him the worship, the supremacy, the dominion, the rule, and the sovereignty. In the name of Jesus, and help me shake three hands around you. Shake their hands. Appreciate God for them. We welcome them to the seventh month. Welcome them to the best month of the year so far. Welcome them to the seventh month. Welcome them to the best month of the year so far. And welcome them to a new, fresh season of help and mercy. Give him the praise and give him the honor as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Please be seated. Welcome to seven, the seventh month. One thing we know about the number seven is that God created man in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. And to corroborate that, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 8 and in verse 4, that in the seventh month, the ark rested. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat, the ark rested. I decree today in the name of Jesus, in this month, this seventh month, you shall see rest. You shall experience rest. You shall encounter rest. The Lord shall give you rest from the storms. I decree the flood that came around your life when the enemy shall rise up against us like a flood, the Spirit of God shall raise a standard. I declare that the flood that has come around you like the flood of Noah in this seventh month, not only will the flood cease, but you shall experience rest in the name of Jesus. I declare the arrest of the flood, and I declare the season of rest in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a louder amen. Also, somebody expect God's word like never before. In Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible speaks about how the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Haggai in the seventh month. The word of the Lord came in the seventh month, in the 120th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai. The word of the Lord is coming upon, it's coming to somebody in this seventh month. Get ready for divine visitation of revelation, divine visitation of direction, and divine visitation of instruction in this seventh month in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master, and thank you, Adonai. Without a doubt, the seventh month shall favor you. And as we step into this seventh month from this coming Monday, the 6th, all the way to the 12th, ensure that you are a part of the mid-year King fast so that we can thoroughly undergird the seventh month and ensure that all that God has in mind for us for the seventh month comes to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say aloud, amen. Without any doubt, this shall be the best month of your life. The Bible said the path of the just is a shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I decree that the light of this month shall shine more and more unto you, and it shall be far better than all the months before today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It's our preservation service, and we shall be looking at the forces of our preservation. The forces of our preservation. In the book of Psalm chapter 91 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 2, the Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Our objective in this study is to understand the forces that guarantee our preservation. The forces that guarantee the preservation of the lives, of the life of the saint. It is clear in scripture that we live in a world of extreme wickedness. The world of extreme darkness. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 60 and in verse 1 and in verse 2, you say, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. First John chapter 5 and in verse 19, the Bible said, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We live in a world that is lying in wickedness. Wickedness like we have never seen before. Wickedness like we have never heard of before. Wickedness like was never witnessed before in history. You see today people committing wickedness and displaying it online for the people to see how wicked they could be. Wickedness like never before. But in the same breath, we also know that we serve a God who is committed to the preservation of his people. Right? First thing we note is that we live in a world of extreme wickedness. Second thing we know is that we serve the God of preservation who is committed to the preservation of his people. Now, let's take a look at certain scriptures that confirm that we serve a God who is confirmed to the preservation of his people. We already saw Psalm 91 verse 1 to 2 already. We can continue from verse 3. It said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He said, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, he said, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is a long reading, but that is what scripture said. We serve the God who is committed to the preservation of his people. Psalm 23 verse 1 all the way to verse N to the last. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Say here, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Somebody shout the loudest, say amen. You see, so even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now look at Isaiah 43 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 4. It's important that we are wired with these scriptures. He said, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Fear not, fear not. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. In other words, it doesn't matter what you go through, you will be unaffected. Thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Hallelujah. That is, those who won't let you rest will go down for you. Somebody say louder, amen. That is, it doesn't matter what you go through, you are unaffected. You walk through the fire, you walk through the water, you are unaffected. Look at Job chapter 5, verse 19 to 26. Very exciting. God committed to the preservation of his people. Job 5, 19, all the way to verse 20, 26. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. Hey. In famine, he shall redeem you from death. And even in war, even in the climate of terrorism, he shall redeem you from the power of the sword, from the power of weapons. Thou shalt be healed from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Neither shall you be afraid of the beasts of the earth. Higher. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. 24. And you shall know that your tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. And look at our scripture. You shall know that thy seed shall be great, and thy offsprings as the grass of the earth. You shall come to your grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in its season. You remember the Living Bible version of this, of verse 26. You shall come to your grave in ripe age. He said, you shall live a long, good life, like standing grain. You will not be harvested until it is time. Hallelujah. That is your scripture. That is the God. Read it from verse 19 to verse 26. Verse 26, the conclusion. Verse 19 all the way down is telling you what God will do and how he will do it. And at the end of the day, like standing grain, you are not permitted to be harvested until it is time. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. And now Psalm 33 and in verse 18 to verse 20. Psalm 33 verse 18 to verse 20, he said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hold hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 37 verse 18 and 19. 37 verse 18 and in verse 19. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Somebody say a loud amen. Go through those provisions, and if we stop here tonight, that was so much. God's commitment to the preservation of his people. The question is, what are the forces that will guarantee our preservation? What do we do? What do we employ? What trigger do we pull in order for the preservation to be assured? Number one is the force of faith and trust in God. Faith and trust in God. Faith in God. Tr- trust in God are forces for the preservation of our lives in the earth. Psalm 91 verse 1 to 2, we read it already. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. In him will I trust. That is, for as long as I trust in him, there is nothing to fear. In Psalm 32 and in verse 10, Psalm 32 and in verse 10, he said, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy, not destruction, mercy shall compass him about. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy, not disaster, not calamity, shall compass him about. Your trust in God provokes the mercy of God around your life. And the mercy of God is a secret of preservation, for his mercy endureth forever. It's a secret of preservation and even judgment of the adversary. In Psalm 6. Alright. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. You will keep him in perfect peace, not perpetual crisis, not perpetual battle. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in you. Peace is the enemy of war. Peace is the enemy of crisis. Peace is the opposite of war. It's the opposite of crisis. The force of faith and trust. It keeps you in perfect peace. That shall be somebody's portion in the name of Jesus. Psalm 16 and in verse 1. We are still dealing on the subject of faith and trust in God. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust. If I put my trust in you, I am qualified for preservation. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust. Psalm 25 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 2. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. When we put our trust in God, we are not permitted to be ashamed. Daniel chapter 3, look at what Nebuchadnezzar said to the three Hebrew children in verse 28. Daniel 3:28. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. He delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their God. Trust in God brings deliverance even from the midst of the flaming fiery furnace. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. He said, the Lord, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith in God and trust in God. What is faith and what is trust? Faith is confidence in God on the basis of his word and ability. You have confidence in God on the basis of his word and ability. When you say, Lord, your word said it, and I know what you can do, that is faith. Faith in God is a shield. It delivers. But trust in God is confidence in his integrity and character, based on relationship. That is, I know you too much to fear for my defense. I know you too much to fear for my protection. Faith, confidence in God's integrity and character on the basis of Those are two different definitions. Faith is confidence in God on the basis of his word and ability. Second, trust is confidence in God's integrity and character based on relationship. These are twin factors that are needed. So in faith, you are knowing God in his word. You are knowing his ability. But in trust, you are having a relationship with him. You see, people, you trust people because you know them. The more you know people, the more you can trust them. That's how it is with God. The more of God you know, the more you can trust him. And the more you trust him, the more he defends you. Hallelujah. And so our force, number one, is the force. That's right. The force of faith and trust in God. Number two is the force of love for God. Love. In Psalm 91 and in verse 14, he said, because thou hast set, he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. You set your love upon me, I will deliver you. How does it work? This is the equation. To love God is to be loved by God. The scripture makes it abundantly clear. Whatever you do with God determines what he does with you. To love God is to be loved by God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 30, he said, he that honor me, be part. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me will be lightly esteemed. That is to say, if you love me, I will love you. If you don't care about me, I will not care about you. That's how it is. Psalm 18 verse 25 says the same thing in another way. With the merciful, thou will show yourself merciful. With the upright man, thou will show yourself upright. That is, with the person who is loving, you will show yourself a loving God. Alright? James chapter 4 verse 8, he said, draw near to me, to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you understand that now? Draw near. So, love me, I will love you. So, the Bible is saying, the force of love, God, he said, because you set your love on me, I will deliver you. So, when you love God, God has no choice but to love you overwhelmingly. Now, don't misunderstand me. God loves everybody generally. For God so loved the world and he sent his only begotten son. But when you are an individual and you decide to love God as a person, you move from just the realm of that general love for humankind into the realm of a specific love of God targeted upon you, which delivers you. When you are loved by God, you are defended by God. That's the equation. When you are loved by God, you are defended by God. He said that in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and in verse 12. He said, the beloved of the Lord, and of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. When you are beloved of the Lord, you dwell in safety. You dwell in safety. Isaiah chapter 43 and in verse 4, he said, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. I have loved you. Do you understand? You love him, he loves you, he loves you, he defends you, he defends you. Beloved, I don't know where your heart is. Is your heart in the temporal things of this life, or your heart is set on God, or your love or God is confirmed as the principal focus of your love, then you don't have to fear for your life. If your love is concentrated on God, you don't have to fear for your life. So the force of faith, number one, the force of love, number three, is the force of uprightness. Uprightness, in bracket, the fear of God. Psalm 25 and in verse 21, he said, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Integrity and uprightness, he preserves. The force of uprightness, which is the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 23, he said, the fear of the Lord, it tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. he shall not be visited with evil. He that has the fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied and shall not be visited with evil. You move from there to Isaiah chapter 33 and in verse 15 all the way to verse 16. Isaiah 33, you say, he that walketh uprighteously, speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. That is, this man avoids the way of evil. In verse 16, he said, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense, so he is defended. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. He is defended by God because he is clear in conscience. In Psalm 34 and in verse 7, he said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Not around about everybody. Not around those who don't fear God. Not around those who take God for granted. No. The angel encamps around those who fear God. What's the fear of God? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. So the angel of the Lord encamps around those who hate evil. Those who hate evil. See, God has a defense system. A preservation system for those who fear him. He has a defense system. He has a preservation system for those who walk in his fear. That is why Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 said, he who breaks the hedge, the serpent shall bite. In the name of Jesus, the grace to live in that uprightness, that grace is released upon you in the name of Jesus. Somebody saying amen, say louder amen. Somebody say amen, say louder amen. So we have seen the force of faith and trust in God, and then the force of love for God, and then the force of uprightness, which is the fear of God. Number four is the force of service. Service. Exodus 23:25-27 said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. And I will send my fear before thee. And I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs on thee. The number of your days I will fulfill if you serve the Lord. Exodus chapter 4 verse 23, God was speaking to Moses to go tell Pharaoh, Israel, and I said, let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. I'm not only going to defend my son that you are holding, I'm going to kill your sons. That is, your service does not only provoke preservation for you, it provokes judgment for your enemies. Do you understand that? Your serving God does not only guarantee your preservation, it provokes, it activates the judgment of your enemies and adversaries. And I prophesy this evening, in the name of Jesus, everyone who will not let you rest while you serve God dedicatedly, may the judgment of God visit them in this season. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be on your seat. And now is the force of service. Daniel chapter 6 verse 20. Nebuchadnezzar came to the den and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant, the one who serves the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? See, many of us do things and we do not know the covenant implications of the things we do. Serving God is a good thing to do, but it's not just favor you are doing for heaven. It is heaven also doing you favor. There is a preservation package
package in your service. There is a deliverance package inside your service. Hallelujah. And I activate it today. You won't be serving God and be a victim of witchcraft. You won't be serving God and be a victim of killers and destroyers. I decree today, your service to God will provoke your preservation and judgment on the adversary. You believe it, shout the Lord and say amen. Hallelujah. That is the force of service. Number five is the force of vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You remember Joseph? He had a vision that kept him alive in Egypt. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1 and in verse 2, you remember our master Jesus? Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Something was set in front of him. He was focusing on what was in front of him, and he endured what he was going through at that time. Vision brings preservation. Vision gives you motion in the midst of destruction. You pass through it as if they never existed. You walk through it without a scratch because you are seeing something. Those who have nothing to live for die in a short time. They just fade off. They have nothing to be alive for. They have nothing they are looking forward to. They have nothing they are seeing ahead of them. Nothing. There is nothing God will use to guarantee their future. So they just fade away. The force of vision. Like we always say, seeing the ultimate is surviving the immediate. Whatever it is in the immediate, you survive it. That is the force of vision. And then number six is the force of divine direction. The force of divine direction. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to be led by God. We need to be led by God. We need to be led. Look at Psalm 23 from verse 1 all the way to verse 3. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth. See, he is leading me beside the still waters. And by that same leading in verse 3, he restores my soul. Do you understand that? He is leading me, and the leading or the direction brings me restoration. What is the meaning of restores my soul? It means that I was missing road. It means that I almost ended in danger. It means that I almost took steps that finished myself. I made some decisions, took some actions that almost finished myself. I did that, but because he is leading me, he restores my soul. He pulls me back from the wrong business. He pulls me back from the wrong relationship. He pulls me back from traveling on the wrong journey because he leadeth me. He is leading me. He is directing me. Where people are devoid of such direction, they don't escape destruction. When people are devoid of direction, they don't escape destruction. The force of direction is a critical force in preservation. And I speak to someone here today, you will not miss direction on that time. You will not miss direction on that time. No wonder the Bible said in Hosea chapter 6, chapter 4 and in verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People are destroyed for lack of direction. If somebody know that death is in front, he will not meet it. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If somebody knew that food they are about to eat was going to cause them harm, they won't touch it. If somebody knew that friend was a killer friend, they won't go with them. If somebody knew that marital relationship was going to end in their death because of the wicked man or woman they are married, they wouldn't have entered. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And direction brings knowledge. Direction makes you know what to do. Direction makes you know what is right for you and what is not right. Where to go and where not to go. In the name of
Jesus, you shall not be destroyed. I speak today prophetically in this seventh month of the year, in this third quarter of the year, in this second half of the year, you shall receive direction. You shall hear clearly. You shall see it in visions, in dreams, in revelations. And no devil shall destroy you. Cut you short before your time. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise. Please take your seat. Is the force of direction. It reads 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 to verse 13. Don't have the time to go through. You will see how David, by the force of direction, was rescued from destruction by Saul in the hands of the Philistines in Keilah. That is the force of direction. Number 7 is the force of praise. And in bracket, you can put it worship. The force of praise. To be praiseful is to be preserved. That's right. To be praiseful is to be preserved. In Psalm 32 and in verse 7. Psalm 32 and in verse 7. It says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, chapter 20, verse 22 to 23, 2 Chronicles 20, 22 to 23, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. As they began to praise, not only did God protect them, God destroyed their adversaries. It destroyed them. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to verse 26, we saw also how at midnight God protected Paul and Silas, prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. They were set free from the clutch of wickedness and the clutch of evil by the power and the force of praise. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. And Father, we give you the adoration. Praise establishes the presence of God around the child of God. And that makes it impossible for the enemy to penetrate. Also, praise sets enemy weapons against themselves. It makes them to fight themselves. Hallelujah. Every time your life is endangered, release praise. Right, that's right. That's key. Paul the apostle released praise. Jonah released praise. The Israelites released praise. Even without the danger. You know, there is the difference between the acute therapy or the instant therapy and what they call prophylaxis. You see, when somebody is sick of malaria, they may give him chloroquine and other such drugs for treatment. But when a pregnant woman is to be prevented from having malaria at all, they give them Daraprim. They give the sickle cell patient Daraprim as well. Let the malaria not come at all. You see, that is preventing the sickness from happening. You see, so instead of waiting to treat the challenge, it is better to prevent it by surrounding your life. That will surround me with songs of deliverance. By surrounding your life with the climate of praise, the climate of worship, and the climate of celebration. Even tonight, we are going to do some heated praise and celebration, preservation praise, we might call it, preservation praise, and trust the Lord that God, while God is establishing his shield of preservation around us, he is also releasing his hand of judgment in the camp of the wicked and the adversary. Somebody say a loud amen. And finally, is the force of prophetic covering. That is point number 8. This is very, very obvious in Hosea chapter 12 and in verse 13. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 20. And they rose early in the morning. And long story, believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Hallelujah. You know, there is power
in prophetic coverage. All the servants of Elijah or Elisha that followed them, none of them could be victims of enemy confrontation. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 12, verse 10 and in verse 12, verse 1, chapter 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10 and in verse 12, we saw how Elisha sat on the mountain and they came to arrest him. Fire consumed those who came to arrest him. All anyone who was with Elijah was safe. We also saw in 2 Kings chapter 6, from about verse 15, 16, 17, how that Elisha, the servant of God, rose up early and the host compassed the city with horses. And his servant said, "What shall we do?" And he told his master, and the master said, "Don't worry, those that be with us are more than those that be with them." That is, for as long as you are in this vicinity, as long as you are under this cover, don't fear for yourself and don't fear for me. That was what Elisha was telling his servant. Because there is a covering over us, there is a covering that we carry. Hallelujah. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. It is very, very critical to be under prophetic covering, not just being under prophetic covering, but to obey prophetic instructions, prophetic directions, because they are critical for destiny preservation. They are critical for destiny preservation. You value prophetic words. You value prophetic covering. You value prophetic instructions. You value prophetic announcements and pronouncements, and destiny is guaranteed. Somebody give the Lord the praise. Somebody give the Lord the praise. Somebody who believes that your preservation this month and this quarter is guaranteed, give him a bigger shout and a bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus, we have seen 7, 8 of the forces that we'll need for our preservation. Number one is the force of faith and trust in God. Number two is the force of love for God. Number three is the force of uprightness, the fear of God. Number four is the force of service, kingdom service. Number five. So at that point, you would like to ask God, "Lord, am I serving you well? Is there something you need me to be doing and I am not doing?" Very, very important. Are you winning souls? Are you in the soul winning assignment for God? Ask him. Right? So that you are not assuming that you are serving when you are not serving. Right? The force of service. And then the force of vision. How far can you see? Do you see your life in the next 15, 20, 30 years? How far do you see yourself lasting on the earth? Very important. The force of vision, then the force of divine direction. You are not just moving at random. You are receiving accurate direction from God. And then the force of praise and worship. And of course, the force of prophetic covering. I believe it's a new day for someone. And if you are that one, stand up on your feet with the loudest shout of praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy. Lift your hands up and worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Magnify him. Glorify him. Adore him. Praise him. Father, we worship you. Adonai, we honor you. Elion, we magnify you. Be thou glorified. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands everywhere you are and pray after me those 8 points and say, Father, help me to walk in the force of faith in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, with a new level of love for you, with the force of love in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, with the force of uprightness. Help me, Lord, with a fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to serve you, a new zeal. Show me how to serve. Show me what direction to serve. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, with fresh vision. Place your vision in my heart. What do you want me to see? Help me to see, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I receive divine direction. I shall not miss road. I shall not miss direction. In the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, with the garment of praise and the garment of worship in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, with the prophetic covering. I submit myself under the prophetic covering. I receive prophetic instructions, prophetic directions. I will not move at random in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray for the next 60 seconds.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard us and the Lord answered us.
Amen.
You believe God heard us and you believe God answered us. Say a loud amen.
Amen.
Say the loudest amen.
Amen.
Very shortly, I'm going to pray. We have three things to do very sharply. First, we're going to go into some prayer sessions. Number two, we're going to go into a very explosive prayer session. And then number three, we're going to take the communion and receive the anointing upon our lives. Right? First, we're going to go into a prayer session, praying for ourselves and praying also some prayer points that we have. Number two, we're going to go into an explosive prayer session as part of our defense and preservation system. And number three, we're going to take the communion and also proceed into the oil of preservation. But before then, everyone here tonight, wherever you are, in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins, I need you to pray this prayer with me, a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of surrender. Pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward, ever backward, never. The grace to live for you, Lord, I receive it. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer and you meant it. Let's know that you pray. And right here, wherever you are watching, let's know. But those who are here, quickly rush to the frontier and let us receive you. Quickly, quickly pick your Bibles, pick your bags. You're also bound by addiction of smoking, addiction of drinking, addiction of womanizing, masturbation, whatever it is, something is bound to your life. Quickly run to the frontier and join us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.